wouldn't use the term confident. I would use the term optimistic. You know, we're preparing for play this fall in our fall sports, and particularly football, because as you know, and it's so very true, it's the economic piece that we need to have. But we're proceeding cautiously, and I think that while we're preparing, again, I think we could see the virus rear its ugly head in a big way once we have student-athletes on campus and other students on campus as we prepare to open up.
Athletic Director of the University of Kansas, Jeff Long, on his feelings of football happening or not this fall. And there has been testing taking place at KU and all universities across the country in regards to the athletes. And here's the update from Athletic Director Long at the University of Kansas.
We have tested right at 100 student-athletes from four sports at this point. We've had seven positives, and then we have, I hesitate to mention how many in quarantine just because I don't know exact numbers, but there are specific protocols that we do the contact tracing, and then anybody that's come in contact with those positives go into a 14-day quarantine. So we're following those protocols, and we're, I think, managing it very, very well. Certainly as we bring more student-athletes back to campus and back to voluntary workouts in our facilities and such, we expect to see more positives.
All right, so there you have it. We've heard from the K-State angle here recently quite a bit, and then all of a sudden the tweet by the student at K-State, and suddenly we don't talk about any COVID cases at K-State because apparently it disappeared. Of course, it didn't. And the University of Kansas, as with any college, dealing with positive cases of COVID-19 within their athletic programs, and you just wonder what happens when students would come back to campus if, in fact, that does come to fruition as well. Hey, today is Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yes, it is.
Bobby Bonilla, every July 1st, has to be excited. He can buy a lot of fireworks every July 1st. The New York Mets have now paid Bobby Bonilla, who is now 57 years of age, $11.93 million for the 2000 season that he didn't play for them, and they pay him each July 1, 1.193. So let me do this. $1,193,248.20 every July 1st. And guess what? The Mets still have $18 million to go to pay that out over those installments. So it's going to be Bobby Bonilla Day for a while on July the 1st. So Bobby Bonilla's got to always look forward to July 1st.
Yes, absolutely. What would that be like just to have a million-plus payday once a year?
Bobby, why are you so lazy? July 1's coming around. What's so great about July 1? I get a fat paycheck from the Mets. Can you believe they're paying me? And I'm 57. I haven't played for 20-some years. What a weird deal that was. Speaking of deals, a former K-Stater, Dean Wade, has been converted from a two-way player to a multi-year deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's good news for Dean Wade. Great guy, and very happy for him to get that contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's awesome. Major League Baseball players will be reporting today for the start of a second version of spring training. We'll see how all this works with Major League Baseball. Minor League Baseball yesterday made it official by canceling the Minor League Baseball season, which means that new ballpark in Wichita, you will not be able to go watch baseball games this year. You have to wait till next spring. It'll be interesting to see how this affects Major League Baseball in regards to the minor league system not having games, because your prospects need instruction. Although if you see Bobby Witt Jr. and other key younger Royals are on the 60-player pool so that they can be around the club's coaches and partake in intra-squad scrimmages and so forth, because there's no minor league system to send them to right now. Will there be any instructional fall leagues? Usually there are, but with COVID-19, who knows? The same thing applies to winter leagues. Are teams still paying their minor leaguers? Well, I know the Royals are. Most are. But the Angels seem to be hesitating on paying weekly stipends of $400 at least through the end of July, and that's coming from one of the richest owners in baseball. If I was a player and I had to decide where I wanted to play, I would not go play for the Angels.
No.
Because of that very reason. And what happens with the minors? You know, Major League Baseball all along has wanted to condense the amount of teams that had affiliate status. More than 40 teams are going to lose affiliate status. The minors would be realigned with the bottom levels eliminated. Team and league affiliates would be modified, so forth and so on. But we don't know exactly how that's all going to shake out. So Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, a lot going on at both levels. But really nothing going on at minor league level when you think about not playing games. But there's going to be a major impact for minor league baseball for quite some time, especially for those towns and cities that had some lower level minor league baseball. But Wichita, of course, is supposed to have it, and they expected it to be this year. And of course, they got to wait another year. But as I don't know who it was that commented, maybe the owner or the founder or who knows, but talked about the Surge, that's the name of Wichita affiliate, and said, hey, this is a 30-year plan. This is not a one-year plan. It's a 30-year plan, so it'll be all right. Okay, the big story coming out yesterday, Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones has made it clear that he wants a long-term contract before the start of the 2020 season. Jones, the Chiefs Pro Bowl defensive tackle, responded Tuesday night to an NFL Network report detailing his current contract situation. Discussing Jones, NFL Network's Mike Garofalo said there is still a lot of work that needs to get done if the two sides are going to come to terms on a long-term deal before the July 15th deadline. Jones, via social media, responded to the report while alluding to Le'Veon Bell's 2018 holdout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said, and I quote, "or I won't play. Le'Veon Bell told me about this," end of quote. Bell, currently a member of the Jets, sat out the entire 2018 season, if you recall, after he and the Steelers could not come to terms on a long-term deal for a second successive offseason. After skipping training camp the previous summer after being franchise tagged, he ultimately decided to sit out the entire season, which cost him $14.5 million that year. He did get his coveted long-term deal, though, signing a four-year deal with the Jets worth up to $61 million with incentives. There is a significant difference as it relates to Bell's previous situation and the one Jones is currently in. In 2018, Bell was on his second franchise tag, which made a third franchise tag prohibitive. If Jones gets tagged again next year, there is a chance that he would eventually miss two seasons waiting for a long-term contract. That alone might ultimately convince him to play this season under the franchise tag if he and the Chiefs cannot come to terms on a long-term deal. Jones, who was franchise tagged by the Chiefs on March 16th, would make $16.1 million if he plays the 2020 season under the tag. According to Garofalo, Jones believes that he's worth $20 million a season, which would make him among the NFL's three highest-paid interior defensive linemen. The Rams' Aaron Donald makes $22.5 million. And now the Colts' DeForest Buckner, who came over from the 49ers, makes $21 million annually. Jones has 33 sacks in his career, 37 tackles for loss, and, of course, came up big in the Super Bowl. No doubt about it. 2 years ago, a career-high 15 sacks, banged up, missed some time last year. So we go back to the Chris Jones situation. This is a unique situation, and to me, Chris Jones is losing leverage. I don't think Chris Jones has a lot of leverage. I hear that he does. I don't quite understand where that thinking is coming from. To me, all the leverage is with the Kansas City Chiefs because of one thing we just responded to. If he sits out this year, he could possibly miss two seasons if he's waiting for a long-term deal because he'd get tagged again next year. He wasn't tagged last year. Mm-hmm. So they can tag him two straight years, whereas Bell had already been tagged, so then he sat out just the 1 year. Jones, in essence, I mean, if Jones sits out this year and then comes back and the Chiefs say, hey, we're going to tag you again, Jones has got to decide whether he wants to sit out the second season or play for the tag. Listen, I think it's very simple. Chris Jones can say what he wants on social media, but if he's a smart man and his agent's pretty smart, I'm sure, Chris Jones will play this year as long as there is a season. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones will play, and he will play for the franchise tag. And if he is signed to a long-term deal by the Kansas City Chiefs, I will say this again, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. It is a mistake. It is a mistake. Yeah, I don't. There's so many people in Kansas City Chiefs sports media that is like all for this, and I'm like, listen, it's a mistake. Okay, I'm not saying Chris Jones doesn't deserve a long-term deal. He does. He is worth $20 million a year. No doubt. No doubt about it. But the problem is, you got to understand the situation and what the Chiefs have. They got long-term. They got a ton of money tied up in Frank Clark. They got money tied in Tyrann Mathieu, although that's not a major thing. And they've got your quarterback you haven't even figured out yet. You got to get Mahomes figured out first. You're going to pay him $40, $45 million. You got to figure him out first, okay? You've got Kelce that's probably going to want a new deal if you're going to do a new deal with him, maybe after this season. You got a lot of things to think about if you're the Chiefs. And quite frankly, COVID-19 makes it even harder for Chris Jones because the Chiefs now have even less – they are more in the dark now than ever as to what kind of revenues are we going to have? What kind of salary cap we're going to have? What kind of money is going to be coming in? What can we afford? If you sign Chris Jones right now, long-term today, you could be impacting taking care of your quarterback. And there's no question the face of the franchise and of the entire league is not Chris Jones. It's Patrick Mahomes. So I think, and this is just my opinion, They talk about July 15th is the deadline there. I think the Chiefs are going to have a deal done with Patrick Mahomes by July 15th because of this very reason. I think, or the flip side will be the Chiefs have no intent of doing any long-term deal with Chris Jones, and so they'll let that July 15th thing come, and then Jones has got to decide whether or not he's going to, you know, I mean, the Chiefs and Jones got to decide on a long-term deal by July 15th. So, to me, two things are going to happen. One, the Chiefs are going to get a deal done with Mahomes before July 15th so that then they have an idea whether or not they can really, truly go to bat and sign Chris Jones to a long-term deal. Or the Chiefs simply will do nothing. They'll say, listen, you're going to get $16 million on the tag. We don't know what our finances are going to be. COVID-19, we don't even know we're going to have a season right now. And that's going to be a hang-up on some of these contracts in National Football League, not only for the Chiefs, but other organizations. And it could impact a little bit of what Patrick Mahomes gets. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really will, but maybe, slightly. So, listen, who's more important to the franchise, Mahomes or Jones? If you got to choose one, it's a no-brainer. And I think Chris Jones is a really good player. But there's another reason why you don't give Chris Jones a lot of money. He's injury-prone. He doesn't play a full season, typically. And he's a defensive tackle. And I know he's a guy that can get pressure on the quarterback. He's not good against the run. He's not a complete player. He's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. I do think he's one of the three best defensive tackles in the National Football League. I do believe he deserves $20 million a year in regards to his value in the league. Does I think he truly believe he deserves $20 million a year? No, I don't think any player does. But based on the value of where he is and what he brings to the table and his age at 25, yes, I think he deserves $20 million. My problem is it just won't be with the Chiefs. I don't think it can be with the Chiefs. If the Chiefs want to be really good for a long extended period of time with Patrick Mahomes, you have a small window on his cheap contract. You have one more year on that cheaper deal. And then you got that quarterback salary that's going to hamper you, no question, in regards to the financial moves you make. Does it make sense to have all the money tied up in Frank Clark and Chris Jones and a big, huge deal to Patrick Mahomes, and you're still paying Hill good money, you're paying Fisher good money, you're paying Travis Kelce, really undervalued right now, but you know, pretty still good money. Tyrann Mathieu, good money, 3 years, $42 million. It doesn't give you a lot of flexibility. You could argue even with Mahomes' contract that they're going to do is not going to give him a lot of flexibility. You add in Jones at $20 million a year, what, the Chiefs going to give him 5 years, $100 million? I don't think so.
No.
I think, and if they do give him $20 million a year, there's going to be a lot up front and a signing bonus and all that. And then it's going to be about working the cap. How much does the money, how do we work it to where this is the cap hit? Where is the dead cap money? Where is it going to be for the Chiefs in regards to assessing other issues on their team? You know, I hear people that talk about, well, you can't give Mahomes $40 to $45 million because then we won't have an offensive line. We can't afford anybody. But I don't see those same people, you know, up in arms about Chris Jones getting a deal. If you got to choose one or the other, it's a no-brainer. It's duh. It is completely duh.
Yeah.
Now, if the Chiefs want to choose to pay both, that's their prerogative. But I think the Chiefs are going to become the next St. Louis Rams or the LA Rams now. You cannot be giving everybody big deals. The Patriots don't do it. You know why the Patriots have been good for so long? Well, one, they had a quarterback that, you know, he did take less value at times.
Mm-hmm.
They had a quarterback that stayed there. They had a quarterback that was happy for the most of the time until the last few years. But they also didn't throw a whole bunch of money out at every single great player. They walked or they traded those guys. They found somebody they could draft and develop to replace them. And the Chiefs say that they want to work out a long-term deal with Chris Jones. I don't know if that's for face value or if they truly believe that. But I have said this from the very beginning. I have nothing against Chris Jones. Like I said, I think he deserves the money, man. And I think he has to find it elsewhere. And I think he needs to play. I think what's going to happen is he's going to play for the tag this year. This is how I would do it if I was GM. You play for the tag this year. You didn't play under a tag last year. You play a tag this year at $16 million. Then we'll reevaluate. Have a great year. I mean, you did great things last year. You didn't whine about your contract. I give Chris Jones credit for that. That's worth something. Okay, remember he held out for a short period of time last year?
Mm-hmm.
I do get that. I understand Chris Jones wants his value. I get that. But you add in the whole COVID-19 equation, I think it's completely a no-brainer to me that the Chiefs do not sign him to a long-term deal. If they want to do it next offseason when things have calmed down, you know, if there's no COVID-19 to worry about, then I say fine. If that's what they want to do, I still would be against it unless they're going to move somebody else. You know, they're gonna cut Frank Clark or something, which they're still gonna be on the
yeah, you
on
can't
the
do it right
for
now.
The money. Yeah. So you still got that to hit your cap. I think Chris Jones is a really good player. I just don't know on this team if he's worth $20 million a year. I think he is for some teams or a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah.
But with this situation, I just don't think he has a lot of leverage. So you want to sit out a year, fine, sit out a year. The Chiefs will probably make some adjustments. They'll still be decent. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, he didn't play very much. What was it, the wild card game the Chiefs won, he didn't play?
Mm-hmm.
Or not the wild card
divisional,
game.
Divisional, yeah.
The divisional game.
Yeah.
He didn't play in that game. The Chiefs won. And then the second game, he played more snaps than they expected. And the Chiefs, of course, won AFC title game. And then he made some big plays, deflections and everything against the Niners. He, you know, if he had a defensive MVP of that game last year, it could have been Chris Jones. So I get the value, but I just don't think it's the right equation for the Chiefs. And so if I'm the GM and I'm Brett Beach, I just wait it out. I let July 15th go by. If Chris Jones wants to be all ticked off and wants to hold out, fine. Then we won't pay you $16 million. That saves us against that. That hedges our bet against COVID-19. You don't want to play? We'll just save the $16 million. Because we don't even know we're going to have a season anyway. That's another thing that's playing in the Chiefs' favor. Okay, Chris, we don't even know we're going to have a season, buddy. So you want to sit out this year? That's fine. We still have your rights. We'll tag you next year. And then you'll really be upset. You going to sit out 2 years? Of course you're not.
No.
That would be career suicide. At his age, at 25, you're going to sit out two of your prime years. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, still made a mistake.
Oh, I agree.
There you go. Well, he got his long-term deal he coveted. Yeah, he gave up $14 million in a year of his career. Now, running back, maybe that will help lengthen his career by, you know, having 1 year off. And he didn't have a great year with the Jets last year, by the way. So I just don't think it's smart for any athlete to sit out a year over a contract. You lose time and money. Does that make any sense? You're hurting yourself more than the team. The team's going to find somebody to replace you. Not as good as you, probably. Or in some cases, might be valued based on what they're paying that guy to replace you. They're getting more value out of what they pay that guy than paying you $20 million a year or even $16 million a year on a tag. I just think the Chiefs, their defense doesn't completely evolve or revolve around Chris Jones.
No.
I've never felt like Chris Jones is the guy that makes that defense go. The guy that's the most important guy on that defense, I think most people understand it by now, is Tyrann Mathieu, because he can move in so many different spots. Where does Chris Jones play? Defensive tackle, every once in a while line up a DN. He don't play linebacker. I mean, if he was a guy that was dominant against the run and he gets a lot of pressure rushing the quarterback, I may feel a little differently. If there's going to be a huge hole in this rush defense, that, by the way, isn't very good with Chris Jones, but if you took Chris Jones out of the equation, the rush defense was just horrible, but Chris Jones in there makes you a top 10 rush defense, you take him out, you're 25th in the league. Now I might be a little more prone to give him a deal, but that's not the case. The Chiefs are just as good. When they got Mike Pinnell, who was a free agent, unrestricted, undrafted free agent. Mike Pinnell helped the Chiefs against the run more than Chris Jones did.
Yeah, he was just unrestricted, didn't have a place.
Yeah, there was no
in
place.
In the middle of the season.
Right, like, they picked him off the street.
Yeah, they just got him, and he's done a real nice job at stopping the run.
Yeah, he's not great against rushing the passer,
but
he filled a void against the run, and I'd argue he's better against the run than Chris Jones. So we're not paying Pinnell a ton of money. I mean, they signed him for next year, but
yeah.
I just think from a financial aspect, this just doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, if you didn't have the Mahomes thing at all, if you had, you know, what's a quarterback that's not that great that is on your team that doesn't get a lot of money? About every quarterback gets a ton of money now. But if you had Mahomes on his first or second year of his deal, would I be more prone to give Chris Jones the money? Perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the situation.
It's not the case. There's a lot of ways to look at that. The first thing you always look at is, like, listen, as a fan, I know that you kind of latch on to players. You like players.
Sure.
You want players to stay at your organization.
Which cost you with Eric Berry.
Eric Berry, you know, they paid Justin Houston too much to keep him around for as long as they did. Tom Bahali got a lot of money to
Dwayne
stay around.
Dwayne Bowe going back.
He did, yeah. Money. I mean, you got guys that in the past. Look what happened to the Royals, too, because they wanted to be loyal.
Gordon instead of Ben Zobrist.
And they just didn't have the money to
Re-signed
send other places, you know. And so you got to understand that Well, first of all, understand this team's already won a championship, right?
Right.
Okay, so in what happens in those situations, you're not going to be able to keep everybody that was on the championship team.
No.
It's not going to happen. It's already not happening.
No.
So, you know, you just got to kind of move on from that thinking as a fan. And I know you love these guys, and they were part of that first championship that you got to see in your lifetime, and I get that. But just don't latch on to all that when you're trying to think about the future, and especially if you're – in management with the Chiefs and trying to think about the future and putting a contract like this together. The biggest difference, though, with Chris Jones here is you're talking about a guy, you know, he talks about, you know, Le'Veon Bell taught me that I could sit out for the season. Well, you're talking about a guy right now that's made $6.2 million, and 43% of that money came on his rookie signing bonus.
Yes.
He's made $3.8 million or something, mm-hmm. $3.7 million mm-hmm. playing football. Okay, on his rookie contract. Also, Le'Veon Bell got $12 million on a franchise tag before mm-hmm. he set out the next year.
He played under a tag 1 year.
You have to play under
Jones
a tag
hasn't.
For a year. I don't see any way a person could sit out under the tag when there's an opportunity for 2 years on a tag still.
Yeah.
The first year, I just feel like you got to play on that tag. I don't think there's any way around it because you're not gonna make the Chiefs very happy about that, and they could easily say,
"We'll tag you a second time.
We're going to tag you again because we don't have anybody else we want to tag."
Who did the Chiefs tag last year? Did they tag anybody last year?
I think so.
But it wasn't Chris Jones.
It was not Chris Jones.
But Chris Jones held out.
Yeah.
Initially, and then he came to his senses, knowing that, hey, I better.
Yeah, because he. Yeah.
See, I think Chris Jones treats last year as if he was tagged, though.
I know.
And I think that's part of the problem in his head, and it was not a tag. I'm trying to remember who
they D Ford, because they traded him.
Oh, that's right.
In my mind, I was like, I think they tagged somebody and then traded him.
That's why I forgot, because he's no longer on the team. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. See, and that's the other thing you could still do. You could tag Jones and still trade him. If Jones says, okay, I'm hurt and insulted that you didn't get a deal done by July 15th, and he's going to hold against the Chiefs and be a cancer, then the Chiefs say, hey, let's go ahead and trade this guy now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could very well happen. I don't know. This could get a little bit messy, but I think Chris Jones will come to his senses. I don't think he's a dumb guy. I think he's a pretty smart guy, and I think he's just, you know, throwing that out there to get the Chiefs riled up a little bit. And I don't think he's going to follow through on sitting out for the year and doing a Le'Veon Bell. And if he does, I think it's very, very bad business for Chris Jones and his agent, who should probably be fired if his agent doesn't tell him you should play. I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. $16 million is on the table, and you're going to turn that down, sit out a year, and to get a long-term deal when you're 25 and in the prime of your career, that just doesn't seem like smart business sense. Now, some people argue, well, it's not smart business sense to play for 1 year and $16 million and risk getting hurt and not getting your long-term deal. Yeah, I get that to an extent. But you still have 16 million reasons why if you can't live off of 16 million
so far.
You've made six in your whole career.
Yeah.
And if you get another 16, that's 22. If you can't live off $22 million, then you really need to go back to school. Man. So I think we are in agreement. Chris Jones, great guy in regards to a really good player. Seems like a good guy to be around, but just not the right fit. It's not necessarily Chris Jones's fault. It's just the contract situations and the cap that the Chiefs have. And can the Chiefs make it work somehow? I'm sure Brett Veach can pull some strings, move some stuff around. But then I'm not necessarily worried about short term next season if they'd sign him to a long term deal. I am concerned about the year after and the year after that and year after that, because I, as a Chiefs fan, am greedy now. I have the best quarterback in the world. I have Patrick Mahomes. He's 24, going to be 25. I should have a window of 5 to 8 years, if not longer, of having a chance to win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. And I don't want to waste a year or two because I got to rebuild financially because I made bad decisions in signing other players to long-term deals when all along we said they were bad deals. We see this a lot of times. We said it about the Royals before it happened. We said it before Eric Berry was signed to his contract and Justin Houston. Those were mistakes before they happened, and then they happened, and they were mistakes. And I just don't think you give – I don't know if it's smart for any position in the National Football League to give a guy $20 million or more. I think the only position that you should give a guy $20 million or more, which, of course, right now, the NFL market now with good quarterbacks is $35 million or more.
Yeah, it's at least 30,
yeah,
for sure.
And Brett Prescott's going to franchise tag $31 million. You know, Goff's making 34, Wilson's making 35, Mahomes going to make north of 40. You know, Does it hamstring you if you give a quarterback a lot of money? Yeah, it does. But I would rather give my money to the guy that I believe is my quarterback than give it to a defensive tackle that's injury prone. So to me, the only position on the field that you should pay more than $20 million to is quarterback. It sure as heck shouldn't be running back. Those are dime a dozen. I'm telling you, there's great running backs, but you can find other guys that can do almost as much as some of the great running backs. They might do 75% of the production of a great running back, but you can do that saving yourself a ton of money at a fraction of the cost. A wide receiver at times, you can do that too. Offensive line, there's no question. You know, do you have to spend money on your left tackle and your right tackle sometimes? Yes, you do. You don't have to spend $20 million a year. And you definitely don't need to spend. And here's the thing: usually, if you're going to spend a lot of money on anybody on defense, it's usually a pass rusher, because it's a passing league.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Jones, I guess, is a pass rusher, but he's not a prototypical pass rusher. So that's why Frank Clark and the Chiefs did what they did last year, traded Dee Ford because he wasn't good against the run, got a more complete player in Frank Clark, and they gave him the big contract because he can come off the edge, he can line up both sides. He rushed the quarterback. He didn't do great the first half of the season, kind of banged up and hurt, and then at the end of the year really came around. But to me, the most important player on this team that you have to keep happy is Tyrann Mathieu, not Chris Jones.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the Chiefs do. I believe the Chiefs are going to do the right thing for the team, and I think COVID-19 situation in this regard, in regards to this argument, maybe a blessing in disguise for the Chiefs to prevent them from making a mistake signing long-term. Because I think the Chiefs maybe were serious about going long-term with Chris Jones. I think this creates pause. I think it definitely makes the Chiefs not interested in doing anything right now. And if that's the case, then that means he'll be under the tag for 1 year. And that gives the Chiefs another year to figure things out, move things around if they want to sign him long-term next offseason, or he ends up not having a great year injury-prone and that makes your decision easy. Like, dude, we'll let him walk or we'll tag him. So I think this buys the Chiefs time, the COVID-19, in regards to this contract situation.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA, should there be an asterisk? Should there be an asterisk if the Lakers win the NBA championship, or the Boston Celtics win a championship and get hot, or the Clippers, or the Nuggets? Whoever wins the NBA championship, should there be an asterisk next to it? If we have the bubble NBA season as they're planning, and you're going to play, what is it, 8 regular season games, and you go into the playoffs after a 3 to 4 month layoff, and there's only 22 teams competing here at the end, although the other 8 weren't close enough to even compete, and the Nets might not even be there. I don't know if they'll have enough players the way that's going. They got 5 positive, well, 2 injured guys that aren't going to play, and then you got 3 other guys that are tested positive for COVID-19, and there might be more. You never know. Do you think there should be an asterisk next to the NBA champion?
I'm not, in general, a fan of asterisks. I feel like if they play and they play the championship, they played it. It happened. They gave them a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. And that's kind of the way I feel it. Now, is it the same? Do I understand why people think there maybe should be one? Mm-hmm. Of course I do.
Right.
But in general, if the NBA has decided to go out and play it and go out and do it and host this thing and play a championship, that's how they did it. That's how their league did it. And that's what happened. That's who won it. That's how I feel about it.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think I totally...
I don't like it, but...
No. Here's the thing I will say, though. They are playing a full season. It's just that it's
Yeah, that's what I'm
up.
Saying. Is like, they might be, you know, 3 games short of an 82-game by the end of it.
Yeah,
you
I think
know?
That's what it'll be.
Or whatever it is. You
4 or 5 at the most.
Yeah.
You're going to have full playoff.
That's for me is the biggest thing, is that they've played so many games already.
Right. Yes.
That 66, the positioning 67. Is basically the same.
And you're going to have the full playoff schedule if things go the way they want.
Yeah.
It's a neutral site. I don't care about the neutral site, not having home court advantage. That doesn't factor in the asterisk for me. I guess the asterisk would be is if a lot of key players end up not playing and opt out, and then it isn't the best versus the best, and then you win because your team ended up having more guys commit to playing. To me, there's definitely an asterisk in that situation when it comes to an NBA championship. But they have played. They're going to end up playing about 75 of the 82 games, somewhere in that range, and you're going to have a full line of playoffs. Now, if you were going to say, hey, we're eliminating the first 2 rounds of the playoffs and we're just taking the top 4 teams, now I'd really put an asterisk by it, because that's completely different than what any other NBA champion has done. I would argue that, or I would contend, I don't really argue, I'd contend that there should be more of an asterisk put on the champion in Major League Baseball
Absolutely.
This year.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to play 60 games. That's not even half the season. That's what, 38% of the season?
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that should have a more of an asterisk. Of course, baseball is all about asterisks, right? That asterisk would be more appropriate to put towards the Major League Baseball. Now, if the NBA played only 30 games, and then I would feel the same way here, or any sports league for that matter. You know, if the NFL says we're going to play 10 games and we're going to eliminate two rounds of the playoffs, we're going straight to the AFC title game and the NFC title game, I'd put an asterisk on that compared to everybody else that's won a Super Bowl in the past. But this is interesting. Austin Rivers, that's Doc Rivers' son.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Rivers played at the University of Duke, if you remember. Was a one-and-done player. He's in the NBA. He's a solid player. He's not a star, but he's a solid player. And he's actually, you know, Kyrie Irving was talking about basically sitting out and we could start our own league and we shouldn't play because that'll take away from the Black Lives Movement and Matters Movement and so forth and so on. A lot of people, players agreed with Kyrie Irving. Others are like, well, easy for him to say that he'll give up everything when he's made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Rivers is one of those guys that came out and said, dude, I don't agree with this. It's easy for Kyrie Irving to say that. And we have a platform here by playing games that can be beneficial to the movement.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin Rivers was asked whether or not this year's NBA champion will have an asterisk next to their name. And here's what he said. Very interesting take. Austin Rivers said, and I quote, I think whoever wins the NBA championship this year should have an asterisk next to it, but only for it being one of the toughest championships ever won. You're asking guys to take 3 or 4 months off, then come back, find chemistry, play during a pandemic, while players are also fighting for Black Lives Matter. There's a lot going on right now, crazy times and a lot of worry. And during these times, players are leaving their families to go live in a lockdown bubble. So for all these reasons and more, I think it'll be one of the more tougher championships ever won. Only season ever like this. Ever. He put in capital letters. That's a great point. The reason the asterisk is there, instead of saying it's not as hard,
mm-hmm.
he's saying, yeah, you put the asterisk there because it's even harder than any other team has ever had to deal with. You know what? I hadn't thought of it from that
yeah.
perspective. That makes some sense.
I mean, he's got a point for sure.
He really does.
You do. You sit out that long, and then you have to go, oh, hey, go play again.
Right.
and play the right way, you know, play at a championship level here in
yes.
the last.
Dusty playing his music on the, on, all right. Good stuff there. Turn ringer down.
Ringer's down. It's like my phone for some reason thinks it's saying, okay, Google. When I'm not, because if I say okay Google and then I said play and it played music, so
wow.
I did not say okay Google.
No, you didn't. I didn't hear you say Google. It's like when you say something about
sometimes technology doesn't work the way you want it to.
No, like we said, we have a neighbor friend. Her name is Alexis.
And
we said Alexis one time, and Alexa came
what
on.
What did you want?
Yeah, what can we do for you? It's like what. I didn't say Alexa, I said Alexis. Listen, Alexa. So Austin Rivers, I think, has an interesting take on it, and it makes
yeah.
some sense. I hadn't really thought about it. That's why, you know, this is why it's okay to be objective and listen. It's okay to be objective and read. And I guess that's one thing I'm really frustrated with our country. And granted, it's we hear the worst part. There's probably more people that are actually getting along and doing good things than what we hear. But it's just, you know, it's like, why can't we stop and listen? Whether it's something super serious or whether it's something like this that Austin Rivers is saying, you know, he makes some valid points. You don't have to agree with it. If you sit here and go, well, you know, still, it's and there's still an asterisk and it's not for the reason Austin Rivers says, well, that's fine, but you can at least appreciate what he's trying to tell you. And I do.
Yeah.
I do. It's
sure.
like Ian Desmond, you know, coming out yesterday saying why he wasn't going to play, opting
mm-hmm.
out. He gave very many, many reasons why, and I highly respect that. And in fact, Ian Desmond's one of my new favorite players in Major League Baseball, and I can't watch him play because he's going to stay home with family and resurrect a Little League baseball fields that he grew up at. I think that's awesome. I think it's completely awesome. So I think we need to respect people more, and there seems to be a lack of respect in this country with people respecting other people.